Daybreak on BizNews is proudly brought to you by Bonitas, the medical aid for South Africa.
Good morning and welcome to the BizNews Daybreak. Today is Tuesday, the 4th of August. I am Kerry Lanigan. First up, we've got Bloomberg News Now with the latest overnight world news.
President Trump says this is Iran's last chance to sign a deal. That is after he called off a major attack on the Islamic Republic over the weekend. Here's Trump.
I want to give them every last chance before decapitation. Very tough to do what we have planned, still planned. We'll see what happens.
Iran, meanwhile, has shown no sign of allowing vessels free passage through the Strait of Hormuz, which Trump has demanded. Instead, Iran says it's talking to Oman about a new route and not about whether the strait as a whole will be open or closed. President Trump also scolded ExxonMobil and Chevron for their soaring profits. Trump said the biggest U.S. oil companies are, quote, making too much money.
Chevron, too much money. ExxonMobil, too much money. When you look at one company where they made 12 times what they made the year before, they're going to give some of that back to the public, and they better cut the retail price, the consumer price.
In earnings news, Palantir Technologies raised its sales and income forecast for the full year. That is after posting second quarter sales that far exceeded Wall Street's estimates after the company described commercial demand in particular as, quote, otherworldly. A group of U.S. states filed a lawsuit challenging President Trump's new global tariffs that went into effect last month, adding to similar complaints by groups of small businesses who claim the levies are illegal. The lawsuits accuse Trump and U.S. officials of unlawfully using Section 301 of the Trade Act of 1974 to replace earlier tariffs that were either struck down by the Supreme Court or expired. Under the new tariffs, the administration is collecting 10 to 12.5% duties on imports from most major trading partners. The move under Section 301 followed a U.S. probe into the alleged failure of about 60 economies to prevent forced labor in their supply chains to the detriment of American workers. OpenAI CEO Sam Altman has been asked to brief a House panel on AI security issues. This follows last month after the company disclosed that its advanced artificial intelligence models inadvertently hacked Hugging Face in a, quote, unprecedented incident. Today, Hugging Face CEO Clem DeLong tells Bloomberg that the breach could have been much worse.
We need to take this kind of like seriously as a wake-up call for us to kind of like work more on getting these systems secure and giving more tools to all defenders. And generally creating more transparency and more monitoring of these systems.
Meanwhile, the Trump administration plans to host artificial intelligence companies at the White House on Tuesday to discuss a new U.S. framework for conducting voluntary safety tests of AI models. The framework springs from a June executive order by President Trump on AI cybersecurity that outlined an opt-in approach to safety reviews of models and greater efforts to shore up critical computer systems.
Four new provincial police commissioners were appointed, and former Western Cape Commissioner Dr. Leonard Max told Chris Stain why he was genuinely pleased with the choices this time around. The full interview is on biznews.com.
You can remember the last time then when we spoke. I raised a concern, which is very serious to me, with regards to our Rainbow Nation approach and that we can't leave certain race groups behind. Because at the time, all nine provincial commissioners were African. There were not a single colored, white, or Indian among them, as well as the National Commissioner's Office, with his deputies, as well as his divisional commissioners. This time around, I'm very pleased that the acting National Commissioner, in her wisdom, decided that there's merit among people of colors as well as whites, and to take this country along as a team, to allow each and every race group, there's no Indian there, but to contribute to crime fighting in this country to make our country more safer. So yes, in terms of the information which I gathered from the media, it appears to me that these provincial commissioners are seasoned police officers. For instance, Lieutenant General See, Zakhele Dianji in the Western Cape, he got 34 years of service. Lieutenant General Arthur Adams, Northwest, 34 years of service as well. Lieutenant General John Skippers Limpopo, 38 years of service. And Lieutenant General Apapia Modise of Mpumalanga, she got 37 years of service. So that is, for me, pleasing that they are seasoned. They are not people who are, parachuted into those ranks. And I'm quite certain that they know and understand our community's needs, and they will make use of the opportunity to ensure that the resources are distributed to the areas needed most. And I also hope, because there's a new phenomena in the police, that provincial commissioners nowadays acted as foot soldiers on a daily basis and leading operations instead of empowering their deputies to do the job so that they can focus on the broader policing needs like human resource, the buildings, because we experience regularly that there's not proper and sufficient resources for the people who are conducting these operations. And a provincial commissioner is a strategic manager and not a foot soldier. He or she can often assist and be present, but they must empower their deputies to execute those duties. Otherwise, how are they going to measure and evaluate the cooperation and the productivity of the deputy provincial commissioners?
Alec Hogg on BizNews Edge. South Africa was crowned the ransomware capital of Africa, and the FSCA handed out a record 2.8 billion rand in fines, most of it traced back to the Bankso deepfake scam BizNews first exposed. Check out biznews.com for more.
Interpol dropped its African cyber threat assessment this morning, and if you're a South African business owner, it's worth reading twice. We're in the eye of the storm here in our country. 92% of every ransomware attack detected on this continent last year hit South African targets. The Weather Service, SAA, telecoms, all hit. We account for roughly 40% of Africa's phishing attempts. Continent-wide, cybercrime losses more than doubled to $484 million, according to Interpol, with AI now doing the criminals' dirty work. Deepfakes, cloned voices, fraud at machine speed. Interpol's message? Laws are improving, but enforcement capacity isn't keeping pace. Guard your business. On a related topic, the FSCA just dropped its enforcement report that came out on Friday. The number is staggering. 2.8 billion rand in fines this past year, 24 times what it levied the year before. Let that sink in. 24 times more crimes. Well, almost all of it traces to a story we broke at BizNews. Company called Bankso, running deep fake ads using Elon Musk and Johan Rupert's faces. It took whistleblower advocate Petra van Niekerk to come to us and tell us, as embarrassed as she was in being caught, that she'd lost her life savings and she was now determined to crack the case open. Bankso has now been fined over 2 billion rand, and all of the executives involved, they've been put onto a blacklist. They may not operate again in South Africa. Steinhoff's Stehan Grobler and Medbond added more. 678 investigations closed in the year. A record. Well done, FSCA. You're showing South Africa you have teeth.
Healthcare matters, but what matters most?
Having cover for the people who keep this business going.
Bonitas is there for you when it comes. Bonitas, medical aid for South Africa. Visit bonitas.co.za and find your plan.
Safe Citizen founder Jonathan Deal told Chris Stein why the Madlunga Commission felt different from every commission that came before it, and why the corrupt should be worried. The full interview is on biznews.com.
I think that the public has become tired of commission after commission after commission with no results. I think the Zondo Commission was R1 billion in costs for South Africa, literally a room full of dockets ready to prosecute, and nobody held accountable. And this time, it seems to have teeth. You know, one can almost hear the cell phone lines buzzing between all of the people that are scurrying for cover after their corrupt activity. And it must be an enormous worry for those in very high positions that know a lot in terms of their safety, because we've seen what happens at high level and amongst the corrupt few. In fact, I love that English saying, you know, that there's no honor amongst thieves. And when thieves fall out, they turn on each other.
There's people so desperate not to go there that they would allegedly stage their own attempted assassinations.
Yeah, absolutely. It's intriguing stuff. I think one could write a spy novel about it if it wasn't so serious.
Well, the arrests are taking place, but how would you like to see it going forward now, apart from proper prosecutions and proper accountability?
I think that Madlanga must run its course. Everything should be pursued to the nth degree that the system and the public offices held should be purged of the corrupt. And that if this has to flow upstream, then it's necessary for it to flow upstream. And I'm quite fond of another English saying is that a fish rots from the head down. And at this stage, one can understand silence amongst the country's leaders, perhaps if some of this stuff is sub judice. But I think there will come a time when the leaders of the country, of all political parties, need to step up to the plate and pin their colors to the mast, because many of them are very silent about this. I don't necessarily think that it is a time to be silent. But if that's their choice, that's fine. I just believe that if any of this fallout, this corrupt activity, these corrupt practices, this corruption in itself needs to flow upstream, then it must flow upstream. And the people upstream must also be held accountable. It's not just a case of letting the lower level minions be dealt with in the justice system.
And finally, Bloomberg reports that Alibaba dropped a major new AI model, and the US-China AI rivalry just got a lot more intense.
It's hot on the heels of the Kimi K3. Just this morning, Alibaba releasing a new model, 2.4 trillion parameters. It is the second largest open-weighted model in China so far, just behind Kimi K3. And according to Alibaba, it trails just behind Anthropic on certain benchmarks on the Arena leaderboard, and it even beats the Kimi K3 on certain benchmarks as well. And then you have DeepSeek over the weekend also releasing an upgraded model, the Flash V4, and that also boasts very strong performance, also still behind the Kimi K3, which is largely seen as the market leader here, but it edges out Alibaba's Q1, but that is before today's new model release. So we were getting those ranking from artificial analysis, and because the Alibaba's new model was just out today, it's not part of that ranking just yet. But certainly, you can see the intense competition among these AI model creators. And when it comes to pricing as well, that price war heating up as DeepSeek cuts the prices of its input and output tokens for the new model by up to 50%. And it's already, before that price cut, already the cheapest models out there in China so far. So certainly giving it more of an edge when it comes to market adoption.
That's it for this morning's BizNews Daybreak. I'm Kerry Lanigan. Thanks for listening.
Daybreak on BizNews is proudly brought to you by Bonitas, the medical aid for South Africa.